Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Life. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are all well. Joining me on the pod this week to look ahead to our big game up at the Stadium of Light with Sunderland. First up, we've got Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How's your week been? You're very close now to the pub gardens opening. So
very exciting, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Feels like a long time since Charlton have played, just because it was obviously Friday and then no midweek game.
Yeah,
looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, I am as well. Big game. And also joining us to look ahead to the big outing at the Stadium of Light is Mr. Lewis Cat. How are you doing, Luke?
Yeah, good, mate. Thank you. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Have you booked yourself into a pub for Monday yet, or what's your plans?
Not yet, but same as Tom, really excited for it. It's something else to do, isn't it? Feels like a little bit more normality. And yeah, I mean, I'm more excited for this weekend, to be honest. Big game with Sunderland. And yeah, it feels like ages since we played. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Buzzing. Right, so on this evening's show, we are, of course, going to hear from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins. Looking ahead to that game, we've also got an interview with Ryan Innes on his return from injury and what's been going on over the last few months of the club. Matt Crichton from the Roker Report spoke to him during the week to get the point of view of the Sunderland fans ahead of the game. And then we'll hear from Big Nige once more time to speak in a little bit about the mental health in the game of football. Got one tweet to come to as it stands. If any more come in during the show, we'll read those out as well. So let's dive straight into hearing from Nigel in 1 second, Tom. But I mean, just before we do that, I mean, it is a big game. Since we last played, a lot of teams did play on Easter Monday, so the table's a little bit more realistic now. We've actually got two games in hand on a couple of them. Hull at the top of the table, so don't rule us out just yet of finishing top, and Gillingham in ninth, so that's a nice position. But you know, the teams above us now only have one game in hand. There's no one below us other than Doncaster. Donny have got one game in hand, they're 2 points behind us, but everyone else has at least played the same. And you know, especially because there's games next Tuesday as well, we're actually looking at a table that's a little bit more realistic now. 3 points outside the playoffs could be worse, couldn't it?
Could be much worse. Yeah, I think I'll stick by what I've said for a few months now, that I don't think we'll get there. And you and I were speaking after at the women's game on Sunday and saying probably we're going to need at least 6 wins out of 8, which, you know, is doable, absolutely. But based on our record up to this point in the season, you'd say unlikely, but not impossible. And you're probably going to need less points to get in the playoffs this season than you have in recent seasons. So it is there, up for grabs. We're obviously playing a lot of the teams around us, which obviously means that the impact of the results is going to be more, but you would expect the games to be tougher. And with Sunderland on the run they're on, I don't even remember the last time they lost a game. So it's obviously going to be a difficult game this weekend, but we have to remember that we've gone unbeaten for a little while now. I know we haven't won a lot of those games, but we have gone unbeaten for a while. And Nigel's brought in some new ideas. We got a positive result last weekend on Sky, which doesn't happen very often for Charlton. So we're in a good place too. And, you know, whether you think we're going to get there or not, it's definitely going to be exciting over the next few weeks. And I said it's been a week without a game. Games now, you know, it's every few days that we've got a game from now till the end of the season. And you'd expect that kind of any position from, what, fourth down to about 10th is going to change every few minutes, with goals going in all over the place because the points are so tight. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. And it doesn't get much tougher than Sunderland away, as I say, based on the run they're on at the moment.
Yes, certainly doesn't. Right, well, let's hear what Nigel Adkins has to say then ahead of the fixture. Been a big week for the new Addicts boss. He's asked how his last 7 days have been and how the preparation for the game has been going as well.
You're right, it's been a good week as far as I'm concerned. We've been able to get on the grass and in the classroom, and obviously, you know, some good work with Johnny Jackson and Jason Yule and myself and Josh Hornby, just all being together, helping the players, and just applying some more of the principles of play, what we're after. So it's been good. And as you rightly say, it's going to be a real tough game. I went up to watch Peterborough against Sunderland on Monday. Obviously, we didn't have the game on the Tuesday because of the COVID situation for Lincoln. But we finished training. I drove up and had the opportunity, took it in to watch Sunderland play live. Maybe they've adapted themselves a little bit during that game because of they've played the conditions of the pitch at Peterborough. But, you know, we know the strengths. They've got a lot of strengths. You know, Lee Johnson's experienced manager. They've got experienced players up there. And they're under no illusions. It's going to be a real challenging game for us. But we've got to make sure it's a challenging game for them as well.
Specifically, how's Connor shaping up? Connor Washington after his injury, Akin, and I missed the last weekend because of a niggle. And then Ryan, I know he came through Saturday, seemed okay when we spoke to him after the game, but is he okay after that?
So, from that point of view, Connor Washington won't make the squad. So, but he's progressing nicely, but he won't make the squad. Akin Fenwa has trained all week with us, so that's positive. And Ryan Innes has trained all week as well, so that's been another positive in respect of how he's responded from his first game back. There's been no reaction, touch wood, and he's trained really well this week. So I'm sure he'll be looking forward to being in the hat for selection for the game.
Going into the game itself, of course, I mean, we're 7 unbeaten. Sunderland, I think, are now 14 unbeaten, pretty much. They're 3rd in the form guide, we're 4th. So it's obviously got the makings of a cracking game generally. But you look at the stats a little bit, and I think Charlie White's got 23 early goals. The next best is about 6. Is it too simple to say you stop Charlie White, you stop Sunderland?
I mean, listen, football's a simple game, but it isn't. They've got a lot of good players. And from our point of view, you know, with a bit of research, I believe they cross more balls than anybody else in the division. They score more headed goals than anybody else in the division. So straight away, you're getting a bit of a picture of strengths that they've got, but they've got a lot of other very talented football players as well. You know, it's a team we're playing against, not just one individual. And we've got to be very mindful of that. But as you rightly say, they've scored goals from that manner, and they've been very, very good at that. It's put them 3rd in the division, as you rightly say.
The last time we came off the back of a victory against Doncaster and then played Sunderland, it went quite well for us. Two seasons ago, the actual recent history, 10 meetings, we've only lost once, but I guess all of that disappears. It's not about what we've done in the past. Tomorrow's, or Saturday rather, is none of what's happened in the last 10 games counts for anything, does it?
Correct. I mean, it's like everything. You just approach the next game. That's the most important game. You've got to be in the present moment. And you've got to play the game. You've got to play the conditions. You've got to play the opposition. You've got to play the way. Yeah, so we've just got to stay in the present moment. It's going to be a tough game. I think we're all aware of that. Sunderland have got many strengths. We've just got to make sure that we go out and try and impose ourselves on the game. But it'll be challenging. You know, out of possession, we've got to be good. You know, as you said, you've highlighted a few strengths, the many strengths that Sunderland have got. But likewise, we've got to think about what we can do to impose ourselves when we've got the ball as well, to present some problems to Sunderland. As you rightly say, both teams are on a good run of form in respect of going undefeated. And we'll just see what happens. Both sides ideally don't want to get a 0-0 draw. So both sides will be looking to win the game because it's that stage of the season now. But I think you just got to play the moment as it is. And react and respond in the best manner during the course of the game.
There we go. That was big Nigel Adkins looking ahead to the game with Sunderland. Gave us a little bit of team news there. Sounds like only Connor Washington out then, you know, which we've had to deal with for a couple of weeks. But it does give him a slight selection headache up top. But, I mean, well aware of the importance of this one going into it, Lewis. He says that, you know, a 0-0 doesn't really do it for either side. Obviously, Sunderland, we'll hear a bit more from Matt later on from the Roker Report. But, you know, sitting 2 points outside the top two with a game in hand on Peterborough. They shared a 1-1 draw at London Road the other day. I mean, it's a massive game for both sides, but purely from our point of view, we need to keep the unbeaten run going. I mean, Nigel says a 0-0 is no good for us. I'd probably take a point. Would that be good enough for you at this point?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think given the form that Sunderland are in, especially at home, I'd definitely take a point. But Nigel's right, really, when you say for us, in terms of what we want to achieve between now and the end of the season and trying to get in that top six. You know, we have given ourselves a bit of a battle to get into there. And given the run of games that we have between the end of the season, between now and the end of the season, it's going to be no easy task. And Sunderland at the moment, given the form they're on, are probably the toughest one that we've got. And they're going to have a similar motive, but they want to be breaking into that top two. And I mean, the run that they've been on under Lee Johnson since he's come in, I think they've lost like three games in 24 or something ridiculous. So it's going to be a real, it's going to be a tough game, a real tough game. I thought we performed well at Doncaster as a professional performance against another side that are, you know, battling to get in that top six with us. So that's promising. Our away record this season's been pretty formidable, to be honest. So that can pay in our favour. We've just got to turn up and give it our best shot, to be honest. I mean, given the form they're in, it will be incredibly difficult. So I think getting a point away from home at probably a side that I do see breaking into that top two come the end of the season, I think it's a good result. But also, I do see where Nigel's coming from when it comes to getting in that top six. I mean, now the games are kind of petering out a little bit in terms of who has what in hand, and we're starting to get a better idea of maybe what we need to do to try and get in the top six. I mean, I think Blackpool still have a couple of games in hand over us, potentially. But people around us now are starting to get on level heading, so that helps. And obviously, we've got that Lincoln game at the end, just before the last game of the season as well, which is going to be massive. So there's still quite a bit of football to be played, and I do think that this contest on Saturday is going to be the toughest of the lot. So if I agree with you, I think if we get anything out of this game, I think a point is a great result, especially if we manage to, if it was a 0-0 and we got a clean sheet. I mean, not so much for those that are viewing it at home. I think they'd probably want a little bit more excitement, but I think a point would be a good result on paper. But ultimately, if we want to try and get in that top six, we're going to have to do all we can to push for the three.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a big statement, wouldn't it, Tom, if we go up there and get a win? You know, Sunderland side that are unbeaten in a long, long time. But, you know, we played Sunderland at the start of the season. And again, I mean, this comes back to your point that you like to make every week. I didn't think they were that good when we played them at the start of the season. Now, obviously, they've improved since then. And that was still under Phil Parkinson, I believe, who, you know, wasn't very popular there. But, you know, we've seen that we can go toe-to-toe with them, I guess.
Yeah, and to that point that I make, I think if you're on form in this league, then you're going to win the game. I think I would like to see Nigel kind of put his money where his mouth is. He says a draw's not enough, so go out there and put a team out that's designed to win the game. And if we lose it, you know, if a point wasn't going to be enough anyway, then he can come out and say, look, we went for it because a draw wouldn't have been good enough. And ultimately we lost the game. But I'd much rather go out and see us slightly different to you boys who think a point would be a good result. I think we go for it and try and get the win, and if we lose, then so be it. But maybe that's because I'm slightly more resigned to the fact that we're not making playoffs anyway. But yeah, like I said all season long, really, and as I said to you earlier today, there was a couple of podcasts I was listening to do today, sorry, that echoed that. The league isn't great, and if you turn up and you play your football and you're on form, ultimately you're going to win games. That's why teams are able to go on runs at the moment, you know, without actually impressing that much. So, yeah, I think, you know, we can go there and we can beat them. Definitely. We've done it before. We did it in the promotion season, didn't we? Oh, sorry, we almost did it in that promotion season. It took a last-minute goal for them to beat us. But and that was with half a team on the opening day, and that season ended up all right. So I don't think we should go there with anything to fear. Obviously, it's like us in the fact they're a big team at this level, but the ground is going to be empty. I know their home form is, as Lewis said, a lot better than ours is, but it's not going to be the intimidating place that it can be. So, yeah, I don't think go there with any fear. I think go there, play with the handbrake off, if you like, and just give it a real good go. We saw that at Doncaster with the 4-3-3 and, you know, Martson and Giacimi as wide players. And, okay, some of the football wasn't brilliant at times, but at least it was attacking and there was intent there. And if we do that, then yeah, there's no reason we can't get the win.
Yeah, I mean, is that how you'd like to see us line up again on Saturday? Obviously, that Martson playing out of position, Lewis, was a big one. You know, we know Washington's out, so would it be a similar starting lineup? Do you think Stockley, you know, ably assisted by Giacimi and Martson?
Yeah, I think given that we won as well on Friday, I wouldn't be surprised if he kept it the same. Obviously, with Stockley, he's such a physical presence, isn't he? So you're going to need him to, you know, to battle with those Sunderland defenders. try and maybe flick on to Martsen and Giacomo, who have got that pacey side to them. I think probably the same as most. Eyebrows were raised ever so slightly when I saw Martsen was playing in the right side up top, because he'd done it before under Bowes and it didn't really work out. But I thought, you know, he took his goal well on Friday, and overall to come away with the 3 points was a great result. So I don't see it changing a huge amount. Defensively, maybe, like, he might maybe bring in Ack in, but again, a clean sheet on Friday as well. So there's not a huge amount I'd change, to be honest. I don't think I'd change anything from that side on Friday for now. I think it was a professional away performance where we managed to grind out a result, and I think that's sort of what we need to do here. I want to correct my own stat, though, because I was just looking at the form, actually, and they've only lost 5 games in the league this season, but 4 of those have come at home, which is surprising. I thought it was better than that. I mean, it's still not bad, is it, to lose 5 games over a season?
I wish we'd done that. Games at home, yeah.
Exactly. But given they've only lost 5 all year, and that 4 of them have come at home, then maybe, as Tom said, maybe we do need to go there with a little bit more belief in ourselves, and maybe we do have what it takes to go out there and get a result. But yeah, in terms of personnel, I don't think I'd change a huge amount, to be honest. I think it was a positive result Friday, professional performance, and if we're going to have to grind out a result, then I'd probably keep it the same.
Yeah, absolutely, there for the taking is what we're saying. Sunderland, who haven't lost at home in the league since January. I mean, one of the things that will be a decision to make for Nigel, obviously, at Donny, Gunter and Miller had only just come back from international duty and both started on a bench. I mean, do you think Miller in particular, does he replace Giacomo for you? I know you get a bit frustrated with his end product, and I like DJ as well, but I think at the same time, Liam does bring a hell of a lot to the side, driving us forward, even if he hasn't always had the final product recently. I mean, don't forget, he did get those 2 assists at Wimbledon, but which way would you lean with that one, Tom?
I think I'd probably stick with Giacomo for now. I agree, like you said, I do get frustrated with Miller, but I also see the benefit in having him there in the way that he drives the team forward. I think what will be interesting to see is we haven't seen what Adkins is like naming 2 sides in a row, because obviously he's only had the 1 game. And if you think back to Boya, there were times where people, particularly towards the end, were getting frustrated with him picking people, it felt like for the sake of it, or changing things for the sake of it. And what he did in the first 2 seasons, Boya, was very good, was he would adapt his formation based on who we were playing. And then this season, it's felt a little bit like he'd just be chucking Pratley and Watson in there and he'd be justifying it. And even just as fans, without the knowledge, you'd be saying, well, you know, we're playing a team that are down the bottom and we're picking a slow midfield like that. So what would be interesting to see is whether Adkins switches things up, and then if he does or doesn't, how he justifies that. Because if he drops Giacomo for Miller and comes out after the game and explains why he did it and that justification makes sense, then I have no problem with him changing a team. Where I have an issue is him changing players just for the sake of it. And as Lewis said, we kept a clean sheet in the last game. So with Gunter, why bring him back when you've got a back 4, if they're fully fit, that have just kept a clean sheet? Again, I've been consistent on that all season. If actually he says, do you know what, Gunter coming in means we can change our shape a little bit and do something slightly different, then totally go for it. And I, you know, I back that decision. So for me, it's about picking the right side for the right game. I don't necessarily know what that is, which is why I'm unfortunately not a football manager. But if Nigel's worked with the players for a week ahead of this game and had a look at Sunderland, I think he went and watched them on Monday, he said, then he'll have a good idea of what he's up against and he'll pick the right team for that. Personally, I'd like to see Giacomo play just in terms of the quality he's brought the last couple of games. But if Miller's the better player for the occasion, then I have no problem with him putting him in.
Yeah. What about Alex Gilby as well, Lewis? Obviously a player who came back and played his first minutes last weekend, and I thought he did okay. You would be tempted to get him back in there. Obviously Shinny on the bench. There's other midfield options out there as well. Which way do you see that one going?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because he got a lot of praise, didn't he, Gilby, on Friday. And he's been out for a long time and he's had his critics since he's been here as well. Obviously had an injury for some time, hasn't really been near the 11 a huge amount this season either. And we spoke about it before, haven't we, that pre-season I was so impressed with him. And even in that sort of opening, I think it was the first game against Crewe, he played really well. But we just haven't seen the Alex Gilby we thought we'd signed. But he had a fairly decent display on Friday. But It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I think after winning, you don't change it. But I do kind of, as an all-round sort of midfielder and given performances this season, I do prefer Andrew Shinney. I do think he brings more going forward. I think he's more of a goal threat. I think he works hard defensively as well. But to be honest, I don't think I can see Nigel changing it. I think he's probably quite happy with the way they set up on Friday, the way they performed. And he probably wants to keep a bit of consistency running, because it was one of the things that was criticised when Bo was here, wasn't it, about switching it up and having a different 11 every week. We've kind of got a squad now where, yes, there's a lot of football to be played, so you don't want to burn people out and overplay them and sort of, you know, like just play too many minutes into people. We saw that the other week with Washington, where I think Nath called it in the show before, like maybe he'd rest him in case he picked up an injury, and within a minute at Wimbledon, he went off injured. So I think we need to be careful in that sense. But we do also have a fairly healthy amount of players fit now, where you can put a little bit more into them and rotate when you need to. But I think at the moment, before we were kind of trying to protect from injury all the time, where I think now we've got a bit more of a, I don't know, like a backup of squad, where before we were kind of sort of picking out of nothing. We're in a bit of a better position in terms of injuries now, you know, touch wood, because we always seem to get bad injuries. But with the running we've got, I think everyone has a part to play. But at the moment, I wouldn't change that side from Friday. And it shows the strength that we have coming off the bench with the likes of Chucks and Shinney and Liam Miller and Chris Gunter, that are all great players at this level. So we're in a good position, and it's in our hands now to try and get in that top six.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we've had some good games with Sunderland over the years, haven't we, Tom? Famously, obviously, the games at Wembley. You mentioned that one last time we went up to the Stadium of Light as well, on the start, the opening day of that season, where we did end up getting promoted. But, you know, it's a side I always look forward to facing, because it felt like over the years we've always been very evenly matched. This year, perhaps, I'd say they've clearly got the edge in terms of league position and that. But, you know, we have to take some positivity from the fact that we are, you know, similar clubs over the years. I guess obviously they've had a bit more recent success in terms of being in the Premier League, but you know, I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I think particularly for our generation, who kind of grew up coming into the 98 playoff final and everything that's happened since then, they're just a team that you almost benchmark against, don't you? Because we were in the Premier League for a long time and obviously had that final, and both of us yo-yoed between Premier League and Championship. Then we've both had the big fall from grace, if you like. As you say, ours was slightly ahead of them, and we're both, as you say, I don't want to say similar size clubs, because it's easy to say that, but you know, their stadium's a lot bigger, but we're London based, but does that make a difference, etc., etc.? But we're both big clubs at this level, and we both, as you say, are probably, there are a lot of comparisons that can be drawn. You obviously chuck in the second playoff final a couple of years ago as well. There is a lot of history there, and they're a club that I think we probably do compare with a lot. I think the fans probably do. I think we have quite a good rapport, I would suggest, with their fans, certainly from my experience. That's been pretty positive. And yeah, it's a game that I look forward to when we're in the same league as them because of all of that. So yeah, I think it's difficult when you drop down to this level, you know, especially when we came from last season where we were playing the likes of Leeds and Fulham, who, you know, Leeds now in the Premier League, and in fact both of them obviously, and being able to go toe to toe with those clubs. When you drop down to this level and you're playing the likes of, I don't know, a Bristol Rovers or a Lincoln or a Crewe or whoever, it's sometimes hard to, as a fan even, to motivate yourself for those games. And so when you come up against a Sunderland or a Portsmouth again, who are another good comparison, it does put a little bit of added edge to that. So yeah, I'm excited. I know I've spoken a few times in recent weeks about kind of falling out of love a little bit with watching the games live on TV instead of being there and stuff. But this is one that I'm absolutely looking forward to. And obviously with the initiative the club have put in around trying to get the viewers up and stuff, I think it should be an exciting game. And obviously we're not going to hear the benefit of those other fans from our sofa, but hopefully we can get good numbers for the stream as well. Yeah, that's obviously important just financially for the club.
Yeah, good luck to anyone who's trying to watch the game in the garden. You know, if you're going to have a couple of mates around to watch in the garden, it's looking like rain Saturday and 6 degrees. But, you know, Could be one of those funny stories. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we've still got plenty of time to focus more on the Sunderland game. We're also going to hear from the big Addict centre-half, Ryan Innes.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Pressuring the ball again, and Gunter doing exactly that. Almost gets the ball off Deleuze, doesn't know where it is. Williams picks it up. Anike in the box. Can he touch it as Swords? He can!
Yes!
First goal for the Addicts, and it's a stormer.
What a finish from the new boy.
Charlton Live. Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Now, Ryan Innes, of course, sidelined for over 5 months with that quad injury. The Addicts player had been superb when he came in at the start of the season, and he came back at Doncaster on Good Friday, got a clean sheet. He's only, in all the games he's played, I think it's 5 out of 6 in League One, he's kept a clean sheet. He's done superbly. I caught up with the big defender after the game up at Donny. And asked him what it was like to be back out there.
Yeah, I was buzzing, to be fair. It's been a long time coming, but no, it's been a steady process, and I was buzzing to get back out there and obviously get a result.
Yeah. How do you feel after going full 90 minutes as well? I think you'd only done about an hour with the 23s.
Yeah, it was a game, which is different. The intensity here is a lot higher, but preparation I've had and the care I've had, I couldn't have asked for more for the club and the physios and the staff, so I feel like I was well-equipped. And yeah, got through the first 20 minutes, which was frantic, and the boys dragged me through, which I appreciate, and got the result.
And you feel like you come out of it feeling fine?
Yeah. Definitely the 3 points helps. I feel a lot better. Got a few bumps and bruises, but that's standard, really. So I just want to keep pushing and see if I can stay on the side for the rest of the season.
How tough has the last few months been? I made it 146 days since you last played.
Yeah, really hard. It felt like longer than that, to be fair, for me. You know, I was in the side, and I was really enjoying my football and being a part of the club. But I've tried to stay amongst it as much as I can. The boys have made me feel a part of it, staff, new staff. So, yeah, I'd just like to thank the club for all the help they've given me, really.
And today's game was a tough one. Obviously, Doncaster put a lot of balls in the box, especially towards the end as well. But I don't think Ben had to make too many saves today. I think we dealt with it pretty well.
No, and I think it was street smart. He went down when he could. And it's all about winning games at this stage of the season. And the new manager's been in, and we had a little shuffle around staff-wise. But I feel like we're all on the same page, and we're only going to grow from here, I think. And we can look upwards now, hopefully.
Now, did you feel playing alongside Jason Pearce? Because he's certainly had a great few games recently after, you know, in the defence this season, they've struggled at times, and Pearce has really come back and put that right over the last few weeks.
Yeah, Pearce has been brilliant. Even when I was playing previously, he wasn't. So I feel like all the centre-halves have been brilliant for each other, do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, hopefully we can stay on the side and build up a partnership. But whoever may be at centre-half and all over the pitch, we're kind of unified, and we want to get the results for the fans in the club and get up to where we should be.
Obviously, the new gaffer's come in. Nigel's replaced. Lee, have you found Nigel around the place recently?
Yeah, really positive. It's been a breath of fresh air. Obviously, I've come back into training. I towards the end of the last regime, I wasn't involved as much. I can't really speak on that, but it's just all about what we're going to do now and looking forward. But it's definitely been positive, a lot of structure, and yeah, all the boys, there's no grey areas really, but there's definitely more we can learn, we can do a lot better. But getting the basis of 3 points, clean sheet, boys are speaking to each other, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it will be difficult for you to answer because you weren't around the team as much at the time, but was it a bit of a surprise to see Lee go? We haven't heard too much from the players since then. Did it come as a bit of a shock?
I don't focus on things like that. I played under the previous gaffer, I played under this gaffer, and I enjoyed them both thoroughly. Selfishly, I want the team to do well, be where we should be, and focus on my comeback. So I won't really speak on those situations. Just crack on with the task ahead.
Yeah, it was a big game to come back into. Obviously, Donny was sitting ahead of us before today, behind us now, because of the big result. You know, it's still all to play for. We're well aware of the teams around us with games in hand, but try and keep winning games, and that won't be an issue.
It's all about us. There's two ways you look at it. You know, we're playing sides that are up there, but we haven't got to rely on any other team then. We know we've got to go and get the 3 points against a team that we can topple out of their position. So I think I'd rather it this way. We know we're going into a big game. Every game's a cup final. I know it's a cliche, but they're the games we want to play, which would then, if we do make it into the playoffs, we've had that calibre of games if we do get there. But we're taking one at a time, and we're steadily improving, and hopefully come the end of the season, we're up there.
Thank you. Well done today.
Nice.
Ryan, you started the season and your time at Charlton flying. You had an unbeaten start to your career at the club at Central. And then, of course, you had that unfortunate time off with injury. But you've come back in and it's like you've never been away. You must be delighted.
Yeah, all the boys out there, 11 of them, I think they helped me out. First 20 minutes, it was a struggle. The boys were, you know, squeezing me up, getting around me. So it was a real team effort, and I appreciate that. So my performance, am I happy with it? Yes, clean sheet, I'm always happy for that. But more than anything, this stage of the season, 3 points over personal performance for me.
And you've had this injury. Is that the first time you've been out for that long, or have you had any experience to call from to be able to cope with that?
I have, unfortunately. This has been my best spell previous to this, without an injury. So it was hard, but the carrot was there for me. I was in every day. I had all the care I needed. So and the boys were working hard, and I just wanted to get back out there. Simple as that. So you have a week or so to be down about it, and then it's back to work.
And you come back into a side that got a great win today, got some tough fixtures coming up. Akin unfortunately couldn't make today, but he'll be, I suppose, raring to go for when he's back. So competition for places as well.
All over the park, absolutely. And it's unlucky for Akin, but all of us are fighting for our positions. The boys that have been away on international that didn't start today, they'll be raring to go. We've got great depth. I've always said we've got the players. It's just all of us just leaving it out there now. Application, knowing our structure and going from there.
There we go, Ryan Innes. Plenty of stuff to get our teeth into there, Lewis. But, I mean, how important is it that he's back? Well, I mean, we're starting now to have a few options again at centre-half. You know, a defence that's been leaky recently. Jason Pearce, as I said in the interview there, he's looked to put things right over the last few weeks. He's done well. We'll see Akin's back now. He'll be in contention for Saturday. It's that competition that we've lacked a little bit at times at that centre-half position. And obviously in Ryan, a player who's done superbly since he's come in.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've spoken so many times about, you know, the defence and the errors that we've made and sort of shooting ourselves in the foot when it comes to giving away sloppy goals. And you look back at some of our results this season and you know, points drops down to those mistakes is harrowing. I mean, I haven't seen us do it for a long time, you know, with this sort of defensive record. But at the start of the season, in terms of options, it was heavy, wasn't it? With Deji, Piercy, Ryan and Akin as well. Like, all good options, in my opinion. And losing Ryan after such a positive start to his Charlton career. You know, he came over with a bit of a reputation, didn't he? And I think that he came over here, he won over a fan base incredibly quickly. I think, you know, sang Valley Floyd Road in his first meeting with Chris Parks and stuff, didn't he? I think I remember reading somewhere. So he's someone that's come in for not so much a second chance or anything, because I think he's done okay where he's been. I mean, at Palace, he's obviously been loaned out a couple of times. He's had an injury problem that kept him out for a while before. And he's come here maybe with a bit of a track record of, you know, is he going to turn out good? Is he going to be another a player that, a bit of a Marcus Madison, if you like, you know? But he hasn't. He came over here, and I think that he's performed outstandingly when he's been in the team. Not just that, but also what he's done off the pitch when he's been injured. Like, you see him involved with the trust and the upbeats, and he's obviously like taken the club to heart, and he's really sort of invested in what it is to play for Charlton. And the interview we just played there, I think, you know, he speaks so well. And a lot of people have sort of said, like, you know, he could be future captain material. And, you know, if he sticks around and carries on the performances, I think we've got one hell of a player there. And it's a gamble that sort of well and truly has paid off. It's just a shame that we've been without him so much this season, because I guarantee you we wouldn't have lost as many games and we wouldn't have given away as many goals as we did if he was in the side, because I think he's a real force. He's a, you know, a great defender, but also a threat in the box from set pieces as well. So he's been an absolutely, you know, huge miss. And to get him back in the side now at the business end of the season, when, you know, it's kind of in our hands to try and push for the top six, yeah, he couldn't have come back at a better time, really. So yeah, I'm really, really happy to have him back.
Yeah, literally a huge miss as well. He's like 12 foot tall. But I mean, his performance at Doncaster was excellent, Tom. Not just defensively, as Lewis mentioned, that you know, a couple of corners he went forward. But I quite liked the way he brought the ball out of defence a couple of times as well. He looked calm on the ball. He didn't look phased about being back in for the first time in so long. And that's what we're going to need in this running. We're going to need cool, calm and collected heads.
Yeah, yeah. And we've seen too many times just sloppy mistakes from people who haven't got that calm head. And I think we had it with, obviously, with Naby, we had it with Patrick Bauer as well, that ability to play out from the back, and for all of Pierce's good qualities, and, you know, we've criticised him at times, and rightly so this season, but he also has a lot of good qualities. He's a very no-nonsense defender. He's up for the fight, etc. I don't think necessarily playing out from the back is his strength, and you need someone else who can do that. And I think, as you say, we've seen that with Ryan. I think Famwo can do that to a certain extent as well. So it's good to have those options in there. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about just the strength in depth and the options we've got more generally now in terms of our squad, now that we're back at full fitness. And I agree with what Lewis said. I think, you know, he's someone that we took a gamble on based on reputation. And so far, I think it has paid off. The injury, obviously, we couldn't have foreseen, but when he has been on the pitch, he hasn't put many feet wrong. And I hope that he can continue to build up his fitness to the end of this season, and hopefully then have a good pre-season and hit the ground running again next year, because he's someone that, again, what Lewis said, I can build on the rapport he's starting to build around the club, the way he gets the club. He's probably learning a lot from Jason Pearson. It's very early days in terms of his Charlton career, but there's definitely sort of that leadership quality within him. And so he's someone that I'd like to see kind of become an imposing figure for a few years here at the club. I guess if he does have success here, it very much depends on whether we can keep hold of him and what league we're going to be in. But obviously, with the intentions of the club over the next few seasons, he's someone that I could see being a big part of that. So yeah, it'll be interesting what happens. But as we've said, clean sheets have really, obviously, if you keep a clean sheet and you score, you win a game. And that's where we struggled for such a large part of the middle of this season, because we had such a good run with them earlier on. But we have picked up a couple more recently, and that's what needs to continue.
Mm. Are you concerned about his injury record, Lewis? Because he's had it a few times, and we have had players who struggle like that, you know, over time, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, you know, anyone we sign really seems to inherit a bad injury record. But, you know, I'd like to think now that maybe in terms of conditioning, I know Nigel obviously has a bit of a history as a physio, so you wonder whether, like, maybe methods, you know, this is in no way saying that Boya's training wasn't suited, but you never know, do you? Someone that's been in the game as long as Nigel Adkins and has that, you know, additional experience as a physio, maybe he'll work closer with the medical staff, and maybe there'll be different recovery programs, etc., in place for players that may have sort of long-standing injury issues or different warm-ups, or, you know, you never know. I don't know anything about that sort of stuff, but Nigel does. So you never know if that will sort of influence on the training ground, you know, after a game, what they do to recover. Maybe their routines will change and maybe those things will help. I mean, ultimately in football, injury can happen anywhere, can't it? You know, it can happen to any player. Someone who has a completely immaculate injury record could go and play tomorrow and break their leg. It's just the risk of the sport. But in terms of those, like, muscular injuries and fatigue injuries and things that we see often in a lot of our key players. Maybe they're things that, you know, you can never guarantee that they're going to get better, but maybe Nigel has certain methods from his experience as a physio that may help us keep players fit for, you know, for a lot longer over the course of a season.
Tom, do you read much into what Ryan said when I asked him about Bo? Like, basically, you know, I said, were you surprised to see him go? He said, I don't concentrate on things like that. I played under the previous gaffer and I've played under this and I've enjoyed it. But, you know, some of the things he said about Nigel being a breath of fresh air, saying there's, no grey areas now. I mean, are we reading too much into that? I know it's a bit of discussion, actually, when I put that interview up on the forum. Is this just something that a player says, or do you think behind the scenes there was grey areas and it wasn't a breath of fresh air when Bo was there? Am I thinking too much about that?
I mean, obviously we're not going to know until someone actually comes out and tells us, and I doubt that will happen. I think the circumstances of Boya leaving are obviously a little bit unusual. It's not very often that a manager leaves of his own accord midway through a season when things are actually going okay. And so I think you're ultimately always going to be asking questions about the underlying reasons or decisions for that. I think when you factor in the fact that there has been an ownership change, and that usually comes with a managerial change, you can question that. I think with a comment like that, when you then reflect and you think, well, do you know what? Okay, Boya has done well, but he is a new coach. He is still learning. So were there things that weren't being translated and weren't coming across? Boya a couple of times has said, look, if I'm giving... I think we referenced it a couple of times on Valley Pass. He came out after the game and said, I'm telling the players the same thing, and they're not delivering it. And I can't remember which of us it was, but we said something along the lines of that in itself is cause for concern, because is that the manager then not being able to do his job? So obviously we all want to know what happened. I'm not here to suddenly dig out Boya, you know, just because he's left, and I don't think that's your intention either, but we are going to question those sort of comments, I think, until we kind of know what happened. And again, we've made the comment on this show several times that, you know, Adkins, in terms of his positivity that we all see through social media, has been a breath of fresh air. So I don't think it's hard to see the type of person that Nigel is and the type of, you know, reserved character that Boya is. If you don't want to go into, you know, him digging out players or, you know, how he was as a player or any of that stuff, even just on the surface, he's a very quiet man in terms of how he comes across. You know, you and I have both done post-match interviews with him, you know how he comes across. Nigel doesn't. Nigel comes in, he's a lot more charismatic, he's a lot more energetic, and that probably does translate as well. So no, I don't think you're wrong to read something into it. Obviously we don't know the answer, but I think there probably is something there in what Nigel is bringing in along with his experience. So yeah, I think we've all spoken about the arrival and it being a positive thing, and I think that just reinforces that, really.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the last thing that big Ryan Innes was talking about is obviously the fact that our games coming up are all against sides, you know, I'm just looking out of our, was it 8 fixtures left, only 2 of them against sides in the bottom half. You know, we are playing the big hitters in this division, of which we, you know, because it is such a bad division, you know, even with our record, we are one of them. We're only one place outside of playoff places. It's a challenge, but I mean, Nigel said it a couple of weeks ago. It's an opportunity, and it's Ryan seeing it as a way to sort of test ourselves, you know, and if we do get into the playoffs, then we've played games against sides in and around us over the last few weeks. So we'll have that experience. We'll know sort of what to expect.
Yeah, I think I didn't really think of it that way until I'd listened to Ryan's interview last week, that it is a kind of a good time to play. Now, of course, it's going to be a challenge because all of those teams are up there for a reason, but then so are we. And you think how many negative results we've had this season and how many poor performances we've put out, and we're still in the race, still well and truly in the race. So that kind of shows, yeah, I think, you know, I agree that the division overall isn't great in terms of quality, which surprises me given the calibre of teams that are in it at the moment. You know, us, Ipswich, Portsmouth, Sunderland, Hull, Wigan, they're, you know, all big sides. And overall, yeah, I think the quality of the league this year has been pretty poor. The fact that we're still in with a shout kind of references to that. But I do agree with Ryan Innes that you're kind of giving yourself that preparation, because if we are going to get in that top six, and the likelihood is that if we do, we probably will end up finishing sixth, you're going to have to play the ones that don't get that second spot ultimately, because the quality of, you know, Hull, I think Hull are probably there, but Sunderland have got games in hand, so they could win it. Peterborough could get in there as well in terms of that three. So realistically, if we do come sixth, whoever we play is going to be the most fancied out of the lot. You know, we were in that position ourselves when we were in the playoffs and Doncaster had to play us. And, you know, it gives us, as Ryan and I said, it's good preparation for that, because whatever game we play now is going to be a huge challenge. And if you were coming into it on an easy run with sides that are down the bottom or maybe have nothing to play for, probably got their foot off the gas, one eye on next season, are you really getting the same challenge you would against a side that's going to be battling to get to Wembley? No. So I think for us, yes, on paper, the fixtures are difficult and it's going to be a task to do it, but why not at the end of the day? You know, anything is possible. And I think that it's the best preparation for us.
Yeah, I guess the thing, we get caught up in these conversations. The thing that we have to remember is how disappointing we have been at times this season. And when we face these sides in the next few games, not only will we, you know, obviously have to beat a good team, we have to improve ourselves as a team into one that looks like one that might challenge for the top six. But halfway through making that point, I'm looking at the league table and thinking, well, if we're thinking about sixth, well, there's only 2 points between sixth and fourth, so we could think about fourth as well. So let's see. Right, a tweet came in from Big Tone. Says, it's going to be a tough game. We need to restrict Aidan McGeady's crosses into the box. I'm not sure I would change too much, but maybe bring in Famo and play a back three of Famo, Pearce and Innes, but I have full faith in Big Nige and the coaching team to get it right. Well, let's hear a little bit more about Sunderland after the break. We'll be back here on Charlton Live in 30 seconds time.
But that's good work from Nico to win it back for Charlton. Ball across into Shinny's pass. Shinny into the penalty area, trying to get it across. He does to Morgan.
Yes!
Who scores and finishes for Charlton and puts them in the lead here at Portman Road. Lovely work by Williams on the far side and Matthews. And equally Chuck to Nico to keep it alive for Charlton. Eventually Shinny managed to get into the penalty area. Ball back across. Looked like it might have taken a deflection into the path of Albie Morgan, who buries it for the Addicts.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview now. Our good friends at the Roca Report, we always interact with these guys before the big games between the Addicts and the Black Cats. And I spoke to Matt Crichton from the Roca Report the other day to find out a little bit more about Lee Johnson's side and asked him for his opinion on the season so far.
Yeah, it's been a good turnaround. Obviously, we started well, then went on a poor run under Phil Parkinson. And then since we've introduced Lee Johnson, we've obviously been on an improved run. I think we're unbeaten in 12 league games at the minute, and we are 2 points outside the promotion places. So I guess we'd have to say we're exactly where we want to be. It's just now about getting over the line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you had that massive game against Peterborough on Easter Monday, which was a 1-1 draw. So a slight missed opportunity there, but you've still got a game in hand on them. So I guess, you know, with that form you're in at the moment, I imagine you're feeling quite confident you can get the top two this time and not have to go through the playoffs where we might be lurking.
Yeah, I definitely want to avoid the playoffs because obviously with Charlton getting Nigel Atkins, last thing we want is to come third, Charlton to come, you know, fifth and have another playoff final with Charlton. But no, I think, you know, we've got one game in hand on Peterborough and 2-1 Hull. So the league's in our hands. If we win our remaining 8 games, we could win the league. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen because it's League One. You know, it's competitive. Teams get shocks. But I definitely think we're in a good position. It was a really good away point at Peterborough, given their home record. So I think we just need to keep plodding along, keep our heads, and just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, what have you made then of Lee Johnson? I mean, I was sad to see Parky go because I liked him when he was with us, but I don't think he was particularly popular with the Sunderland fans.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Parky, you said it yourself, he wasn't popular with fans at all. I don't think his personal way of doing things, his mentality really matched with what Sunderland required. A big part in Lee Johnson's improving form's obviously been the takeover with Kyra Louis-Dreyfus. We've got a sporting director in Christian Speakman. So the club's looking a bit more structured. They're looking like they've got a way they want to do things. And to be honest, Lee Johnson's just been a breath of fresh air. He's changed the style of play. The players look more confident. We get some of the average players, he's just getting to play much better. And, you know, two key things, he's got Charlie White scoring goals, but he also brought back Aidan McGeady, who's been a revelation for us.
Yeah, well, I wish he could have done that last season. that was going to be my next question about the takeover. Obviously, you know, both clubs have been through that this year. Tell us a bit more about your guy. I don't really know much about him other than he seems to be quite a young chap.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just turned 24, so it's quite out of the ordinary. But obviously, he's a young billionaire. His family is very wealthy. But from his history, obviously, they were involved. His father used to own Marseille, and he's led to have been involved. Obviously, he's had a very good education, but he's been involved with football clubs, and he's meant to be football mad. So to me, it might sound silly, but it's sort of like a young guy playing Football Manager. You know, he's into football, he's decided to buy a club, and obviously he's got big plans, he's made a lot of appointments behind the scenes, but so far he's doing all the right things, and it's been a breath of fresh air, because obviously we know what's happened with the previous owners, they were taking the club backwards, so to get this breath of fresh air, someone new, it's gave fans a real lift, and I think you're seeing that on the pitch now. The players are benefiting from the focus being on the football and not behind the scenes.
So, I mean, looking ahead to Saturday, obviously, big game for both sides. We probably need something. We need something from most games to try and keep up with the rest of the top six. You guys are going for that top two. Who are the danger men then, other than Aidan McGeady? And that's a sentence I wasn't going to say last season.
Yeah, I think obviously at the back, Deion Sanderson's been excellent on loan. We've got four centre-halves injured, so it'll be a makeshift back two. You've got Sanderson and then Luke O'Neill sort of filling in, who's done a superb job sort of against what everyone thought he would. Obviously, Charlie White hasn't scored in four games, but his finishing's still been excellent this year. And the other danger man apart from McGeady will be Jordan Jones. He's on loan from Rangers, got bags of pace. And he scored some absolute crackers for us. He's a class above League One level.
Excellent. And, how do you see it going then? Obviously, your home form, well, your form all told is very good. How do you see this one going on Saturday?
I think it'll be a tight game. I think Charlton are unbeaten in seven. I know you have got one of the best away records in the league. And I do rate Nigel Atkins massively. Obviously, he's had previous promotions at this level with Southampton and Scunthorpe. So I do think it'll be a tight game, but I do think Sunderland will come away with 3 points. My score prediction would be 2-1.
Thanks very much to Matt for joining me on the phone the other day then. So, yeah, I mean, Sunderland, they've really turned it on, haven't they, Tom, in the time since Lee Johnson's come in? You know, proper contenders for that top two, which, you know, the size of the club they should be, but it hasn't always been the way under Parkey. They've had their takeover there, as we heard from Matt as well. Tough ask. I mean, what would you make of Lee Johnson as a manager? You know, we had the little running battle with him at Bristol City ever since he said that weird thing. Well, he didn't even say anything weird. He was asked something weird, whether their beating of us in the last minute was better than sex. And Lee Johnson quite wisely just looked at the interview and was like, what on earth are you talking about? And then wandered off. But yeah, I mean, Lee Johnson, young manager, you know, tends to do okay. He done okay at Bristol City without setting the world alight, I guess.
Yeah, he's you can't argue with his record at Sunderland, can you? He's certainly impressed there so far. I obviously don't know him personally, but, you know, I'm not sure about his character. As you say, it's a weird question he got that obviously I don't blame him for answering, but I'm not sure about him as a manager, really. As you say, done all right at places, and he's is it Gary Johnson's son, I think, and Gary Johnson's another sort of strange character, really. So
I've got a photograph of Gary Johnson's arse on my phone, by the way, if anyone's interested.
Lovely.
It was when he was a manager of Cheltenham and they came down to play Bromley, and I was just standing on the side waiting for the Bromley manager to interview him. And then the Bromley have got a little cat that walks around the stadium, Gareth, and he came out and said, oh, I'll take a picture of Gareth, the cat. And just as I pressed take the photo, Gary Johnson walked in front, so and the flash went off, so it looked like I was taking a photo of his arse. So, yeah, if anyone wants that, send me a message and £50.
I feel like I'm in a cartoon. Did that actually happen? But yeah, I think, look, as I say, I don't know either of them personally, so I can't really comment, but just stories you hear and stuff, they're a bit of strange characters, really. So look, he's done a good job there, and they're on a good run of form. Personally, I'm glad he's not our manager, but you know, his record there speaks for itself, and it's going to be a tough game. So I don't think we should underestimate that aspect for sure.
Lewis, the thing that has me fuming out of everything this season is the fact that Aidan McGeady is good again now, because he was rubbish when he played for us. He was so disappointing. Obviously, he hadn't played much for Sunderland last season, came down and joined us, and he never hit the ground running, unfortunately. But he's clearly a danger man. I mean, he's a veteran. You have to give him that. But his performances this season, by all accounts, you don't forget he was frozen out at Sunderland under previous managers, 35 years old, but he's doing superbly this year by the sounds of it.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you look, another big performer for them, Charlie Wyke, you know, he's notched, 23 goals, but I think McGeady's got like 12 assists, which is, you know, ridiculous, really, especially, as you say, given that with us, he didn't really sort of pull up any trees, did he? I wasn't overly impressed. But he's always been quite good for them. I mean, I always remember how much of a danger man he was for them the year that we went up, and that sort of their banker at Wembley was him coming on, wasn't it, in the second half. And even there, I think we all felt a bit like, oh no, McGeady's coming on and stuff. So he's really rated up there. And as you say, frozen out under Parkinson and came to us last year on loan, didn't really do a lot, went back there, probably didn't really know if he had much of a future given that Parkinson was there. And then as you say, Lee Johnson's come in, got him back involved, and he's got 12 assists. I mean, Lee Johnson came in December, so it's not even like he's had 12 assists over a whole season. Like, this is from the time that he's been there. I think in the time Lee Johnson's been there, apart from, I think they've lost three, including his first game, which, I mean, the record's insane. And obviously, having a striker like Charlie Wyke on the form that he is as well, you know, they kind of complement each other. And that's been their sort of their go-to, isn't it, recently, because they've used that. I mean, McGeady scored a fantastic free kick the other day against Peterborough in that game there that was huge. So yeah, we're gonna have to find a way to nullify him as a threat. You know, he is 35, so getting a bit older, so maybe doesn't have the legs that he does that he did before. Charlie White's going to be a huge threat, but I'd like to think that with Ryan Innes back and with Piercy, really, as you said earlier, really playing himself back into form, that we'll be able to deal with those threats, especially with McGeady. If a lot of those assists are coming from crosses into the box, you know, you'd like to think that Innes is going to be able to deal with it better than most defenders in this division. So it's going to be the biggest test for us is dealing with those two, because those stats are, you know, incredible, really. 23 goals for Charlie Wyke and 12 assists for McGeady is just there. Yeah, big numbers, but I'm sure we can nullify that with the likes of Ryan Innes.
Fingers crossed. Right, one more thing I wanted to touch upon that was spoken about in press day today. You may have seen the extremely sad news about the death of the Yeovil Town captain, Lee Collins, last week. Nigel was asked about that by Benji Nurick in today's press conference, about the importance of keeping the mental health of the squad on a sound footing.
I think it's very important, not just in football, but in life in general. Listen, we've all just gone through this real challenging period with the COVID situation, and a lot of people have been locked up. And listen, walking's brilliant, talking's brilliant, and it is. You need to be able to talk to somebody. Obviously, my position here, I do a lot of talking anyway. Players know my door's always open, in confidence, because I think that's important. But just being able to have your teammates and just talk. You know, in the days gone by, you go and have a beer together and you can go and talk. It's been a big challenge for everybody. But talking is brilliant. And we all have a responsibility to look after each other and keep an eye out for each other. And it's challenging times, you know. So the more we can talk to each other, the more we have a bit more comfortable to actually go and speak and express our feelings. And I think that's a big, important message. All of us, to try and look after our teammates, look after humanity, if you like, look after our community. That's the big thing. See, straight away, we've got a great community trust here. You know, this is our community. How can we look out for each other? As I said, walking's brilliant, talking's brilliant.
There we go. Some wise words there from Nigel. I mean, obviously, Tom, anyone who follows his social media sees about how he likes to get out and do his walks every morning. Obviously, he does bring a hyper-positive mentality, but obviously that's not the case for everyone. No one's the same as anyone else. But you know, Nigel touching upon the importance of not only walking but also talking there, and obviously brought into sharp focus after the sad news out of Yeovil.
Yeah, so tragic, and you know, I'm very vocal about it on social media. You know, I've had my struggles in recent years, and I've learnt to try and talk about it, but it's not easy for people. But what's encouraging to see is that football is trying to take a stand and trying to make changes within the game. And you know, just at Charlton, we do things through the club. You've obviously got, like we referenced in the commentary the other day, Kyle Andrews, the photographer, doing his mental well-balling podcast. And what, as I say, what's encouraging is when stories like this happen, or just when, as a fan base, you see someone on social media, you know, feel able to comment on how they're feeling, the overwhelming response is one of positivity and one of support. And that has changed over recent years. It obviously needs to change more. And obviously in incidents like this, there are people who do struggle to talk about it. But the more we can reduce the stigma and the more people do feel prepared to speak out and be brave, it's going to help people. And unfortunately, things like this do happen. And we obviously don't know his individual circumstances. And it's just very tragic. And as you say, brings things into focus. But the more people talk and the more people are happy to, then that will start to change and is already having an impact on people. So, yeah, very sad and obviously thoughts with his family and friends at this time. But as I say, the hope is that something like this, you know, does continue to spark that debate. And it's sad that it has to come to that sometimes, but it does encourage people to talk, and that is important.
Excellent stuff. And as Nigel Adkin says, walking, talking, and you know, maybe setting yourselves three little tasks every day to achieve, give yourself a sense of achievement. Mine has been getting to the end of the pod, because that's where we are now. So thanks to all of you who've listened to Charlton Live, the big match preview this week ahead of our massive game up at Sunderland. Make sure you get your stream as well. Don't forget, they're trying to go for the record on the amount of streams sold. So make sure you sign up to Valley Pass. Right, thanks to Tom and to Lewis for joining me this week.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you both with me. Hope you enjoy the game on Saturday. I'll be up there bright and early, leaving South London, but really looking forward to it. You know, begging for the day that fans can come and join me on these long journeys. But we're getting closer and closer, so that's something to look forward to. Don't forget as well, we'll be back on Sunday with a look back at whatever happens against Sunderland up at the stadium. We're like, let's hope, let's pray that we can get 3 big points. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We shall see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.